Okay, in Pretoria right now, it's Saturday morning. I'm not quite sure what time you're watching this. Maybe Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, maybe Monday. But just a very warm welcome from all of us on the base at 3CI. As my friend Rob Rufus said, these are heady and intoxicating times. I had the privilege of flying down to Durban this week to do a reconciliation meeting between a few business guys. You've probably heard me tell that story. And the wonderful news is we managed to reconcile a relationship that has been broken. And we just saw the gospel of God come, and we saw the grace of God come in, and everything was really beautiful. Then I got on the aeroplane, sat next to a guy with a mask on, and I could see he was getting a little bit agitated. He took his mask off, he sneezed, and then he put his mask back on again. And I turned to him, I said, "Really, bro?" He's like, "Really what, you know?" So I was kind of thinking, is your mask to protect you from me or me from you? And so these are difficult times to monitor, and we're not quite sure what the right thing to do is, and we're trying to hear God and by faith step forward. And we've always said as an eldership, when you're in trouble, number one, run to Jesus, and number two, run to the church. And right now, we are trying to honor our president as well as the scientists and doctors and leaders in the church that feel that we should stop all meetings because of social distancing. And one of the reports say that 60% of the people who contracted the virus in Korea was from a church meeting. So we're just trying to be wise, but we're still full of faith. And we still want the word to be preached. And so we can't run to the church right now, although we have friends and you've got contact with us. The office is open. You're welcome to come here if you're in need of anything. We are open most of the time. We're going to be open for offerings. You're welcome to come and drop your offerings off at the church. But I want to speak, friends, on what we believe our first priority is when we're in trouble, and that is to run to Jesus. And so I'm going to preach from Romans chapter 8. I use the NIV Bible, and from verse 26, and it's going to be entitled The Four G's. Groaning, grace,
golf.
Not golf. Okay, let's go again. It's going to be titled The Four G's. Groaning, the goal of Christ, the grace of God, and the guarantee that Jesus leaves us. So let's read the text together, and then I'm going to just speak for 15 minutes on these four things. It says in Romans 8, verse 26, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him." We love that scripture as a community of believers. It's an incredible scripture, but it doesn't stand alone. It can stand alone, but it doesn't stand alone. But we know right now, in the midst of this pandemic that is hitting the world, right now, behind this pandemic is a redemptive plan of God. Right now, He's busy doing something that is actually going to result in a better story for everybody who loves Him and is called according to His purpose. I'll give you an example of a member in our church. He's been in a business for 9 years. He had to re-tender for his business process. And on the 1st of March, he lost the tender after 9 years. So his business effectively shut down, 120 people. And somebody else took it over in a major corporate company. Well, that corporate company is shut down now for 3 months. He would have had to pay 120 people's salaries for 3 months. He would have bankrupted himself and lost his house. In the beginning of the month, he didn't understand what God had done. But now he says, thank God he never won the tender. So when you look backwards or when you find yourself in the present, it's very difficult to understand what God is busy with. And so we have to take a long-term view and say, God is actually going to use this crisis, this pandemic, this distraction, this disturbance, this deep and dark time to actually form something in our lives which is going to give us a greater story. And so I commend you to Christ and to His ways and to the Scriptures, that we don't lose heart at this time, but hold on to the promises of God. It says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among their brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Right now, in South Africa, with coronavirus, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for us, praying for our children, praying for our businesses, praying for our families. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Big question mark. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword or coronavirus? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. 3CI, as a leadership team, we are committing you at this time to the purposes of God, to the plan of God, and to the love of God. He will look after us. The first point is groaning. And the scripture says, the one who searches our hearts, so the Holy Spirit, it's a picture of the Holy Spirit walking into a dark room with a lantern, looking for something that is groaning. And so we've got to say at this time, there's a groan in all of our hearts. We don't know what's going on in the world. The economists call it the black swan. It's when something hits the market that is completely unpredictable. And so the markets have dived. People's confidences have dived. People's trust has dived. And so we've got this black swan going around, and there's actually a groan in our hearts. It's like, oh, God, what's happening? Oh, God, what's going to happen to our church? What's going to happen to my family? Oh, God, what's going to happen to my children? Lord, what's going to happen to the building project? Lord, what's going to happen to the church? What about Jeff and Jane in Portugal? And actually, when I lie in bed, it's just like this groan that's deep in my heart. And I wish in my heart that it would just go away and God would bring a healing and it would just disappear. But actually, God says, I will come and find that groan in your heart, and I will turn it into words that I will pray to the Father. And so while you're lying on your bed, while you're sitting in your home, while you are away from work, and you don't know what the heaviness is in your heart, you don't know what that thing is that is causing that like ache inside of your heart, the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come with a light, and he will find that groan, and he will turn that groan into words, and he will bring those words before the Father. So I want to say to you, friends, as you are going through tough times now, the Holy Spirit will interpret the very deep thoughts of your heart. Your fears for your children, your fears for your family, your fears for your business, the thing that is weighing you down, the Holy Spirit will interpret those and present them to God. Let that sink in right now. The Holy Spirit will interpret those groans and present them to God. Thank you, Father, for every single person who's sitting at home right now, that you would hear the very depths of their heart, the cry, the groan, the thing that is so deep inside which they can't express. And Holy Spirit, you would take that before our Father in heaven, and you would answer those prayers. The second thing we see, friends, is that God is busy with a goal. And the goal is actually to make us more like Jesus. And it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So God says he will turn everything for the good. Not for everybody, just for those who love him. That's us. And have been called according to his purpose. Not my purpose. It's not comfortable right now because I've got purposes. And my purposes have been disrupted right now. 3CR's purposes have been disrupted now. But we're not here for our purposes. We're here for his purposes. And so we've got to know that God is going to use this pandemic to turn something good for every single one of us who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And so right now what you'll be finding in your life is that some of your priorities are being shuffled because God wants us back on his purpose. He wants us back on his terms. I love the scripture in Psalm 46. It says, be still and know that I am God. It's like some things have got to quieten down now so that we can sit down and say, okay, God, I don't understand this. There groans in my heart. But what is your purpose in this whole matter? Where do you want me to fit into this thing? And then we start to see the grace of God. It says, there are five words he uses. He foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, and he glorified. Friends, the best way to say this is the grace of God's chain. He foreknew. That means he loved me right from the beginning. If I look at my life, I got saved when I was 21. If I look back at my life, I can see where God loved me way before I came to Christ. I can see the family that he put me into. I can see the school that he sent me to. I can see the friends that he gave me. I can see the opportunities that he gave me. And I realize when I look back, I can see God's activity in my life. The second thing it says, he predestined me. That's like he put a GPS coordinate inside of my heart. And when we put a GPS coordinate in our hearts, in our cars, when we go off, we get that lovely American lady that says, recalculating, rerouting. And in my life and in your life, we've taken different turns. And we've taken wrong turns. And we've taken dead end turns. But there's a GPS system inside of our heart that God put there. He predestined us to fulfill his purposes. And all God is doing right now at this time, as hard as it is, he's rerouting us. He's putting us back on the original plan that he had for our lives. And so people will be coming back to God at this time. They'll be rerouting their lives. They'll be getting back to the predestination, the goal that God had for them. The third thing it says, he called me. I don't know about you, friends, but this is a time to revisit when God actually reached out to me. Because there's nowhere in the Bible, Ruth, David, Benjamin, Moses, the disciples, there's no place where we called God. God called us. For me, it was as an 18-year-old boy lying in my bed in boarding school. And for a number of nights in a row, I woke up every night, saw myself dressed as a bishop, walking down the chapel of my school, and I knew that day that God called me. I knew it. And then it goes on and says, he justified us. So we can stand here, you and I, with all our sin, and we can feel completely free because God justified us. I had an incredible moment yesterday when a man got sent to me via a meeting that I did somewhere. And they said, this guy understands grace. He came into my office and he has been living with guilt for many, many, many years. And I took Romans chapter 3 and 4 and 5. And I said, there's no difference. You've all fallen short. And God takes the arrow and he puts it in the bullseye. It says in Romans 4, God will never count your sin against you. He's an Afrikaans guy. I said, say nooit for me. Say nooit ooit. Say nooit ooit, nooit ooit, nooit ooit. Never, ever, never, ever will God count my sin against me. We have been justified. And finally, it says we've been glorified. But it's a past tense word. But it's actually not actually happened quite yet. And so we find ourselves not just with a groan in our heart, but we find ourselves on a chain of grace. And in that chain of grace, there's love. There's a destination for my life. There's a calling for my life. There's a justification that's taken place. And there's a glorification which God speaks of in the past, but it's actually a future event. So it's going to happen. And so as I stand here and I look back and I look forward, I don't actually panic because God is completely and utterly busy with me. He's going to conform me into the image of his son. He's going to melt things, chip some things, flame some things, knock off some things, add some things. But this chain of grace is spoken as if it's already happened. So wherever you are on that chain of grace, just know this, friends, it will come to pass. Do not panic. Corona or the devil or sin or sickness or darkness cannot stop the processes of God over your life. The third area that I want to speak about, so the first one is groan, the second one is the goal, which is to become like Jesus. The third one, which I've spoken about, is grace. And the fourth one is the guarantee. What then shall we say in response to this? So trouble has hit us. We're wrestling through this particular situation. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? So God says, my power is more powerful than any power that will come against you right now. I want to tell you, friends, fear is not part of Christianity. The Bible says perfect love drives out fear because the power of God is more powerful than any power. The power of God is greater than coronavirus. The power of God is greater than the effects of coronavirus. And I don't know if it's going to touch our community. I've been praying Psalm 91 that not one person will be touched. But if it touches somebody close to us, we have to believe that God will turn it for the good. And he will be glorified. And at the end of it, we'll be more like Jesus, understanding his love and his destination and his calling and his justification and the glorification. He says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Friends, if God gave us his son, we can expect him to be generous to us at this time. Somebody phoned me and said, how's your business? Are you all right? The Bible says this in Malachi chapter 3. It says, if you tithe and give offerings, see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such blessing that you cannot contain it, and I will protect your crops from pestilence and from the vine blossoming, or the vine sowing its seed. Friends, I believe perfectly in the protection of God and the generosity of God at this time. If God did not spare his own son, he will not spare anything for you, for the members of 3CR, for anybody who's watching this. Do not worry about resources. God is a generous and kind God. He is not an accountant. He's not an economist. He is a father who will take good care of us. It goes on to say this. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Don't doubt anything now. Don't just stand true on what God has called you to. Who is it that condemns? Big question. Nobody can condemn me because the work of Christ is finished. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing, friends, can separate us from the love of God. It is a guarantee that the love of God will stand through every test that we ever face. And this is what it says. Shall trouble? No, it won't. Shall hardship? No, it won't. Shall persecution? No, it won't. Famine, nakedness, or danger, or sword? Nothing can separate us. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now, some of you know this story. When I went to the Battle of Hastings in England, a battle that took place in 1066. And William was an illegitimate child. He came from France, known as William the Bastard. And he came from Normandy into England, and he fought against the King Harold, who was on top of a hill. And they had this massive battle that took place on the hill. And in the middle of the battle, they shouted, William is dead. And all the troops lost courage and went down the hill. And William took off his helmet, he jumped on a horse, he pulled out his sword and he shouted, I'm not dead, I'm alive! And he started to take his troops back up the hill. And when they won that battle, they stuck a cross on the top of the hill. And they changed his name from William the Bastard to William the Conqueror. That happened in 1066. When I was on that battle site, as clear as day, I felt God say to me, 1,000 years before this, I came into the world in the eyes of man, an illegitimate child. And I won an uphill battle. That you and I are not fighting that battle. Jesus fought that battle. He won an uphill battle and he planted a cross on the top. And he became the conqueror. Friends, I want to say to you, our Christianity starts at the top of the hill. We are more than conquerors. Please just say it with me. We are more than conquerors. conquerors. Not by a positive attitude, but by believing in the finished work of Christ. We are more than conquerors. Our Christianity starts up here. This ground is illegitimate ground. Fear, gossip, panicking. These are all illegitimate battles which Jesus fought, and he planted his cross in the ground. We are more than conquerors. Let's go on to see this. It says, "For I am convinced," Paul said, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, the power of sickness, the power of guilt, the power of doubt, the power of shame, the power of business, neither any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Friends, four things. There's a groan in my heart which is difficult to express. God will take it and offer it to the Father. There is a goal that God is busy with, which is turning me into the image of his Son. And he will use everything, even bad things, for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So you will feel the workings of God inside of you now, because he actually wants Christ to come out of you. The grace chain will never be broken. It'll never, ever be broken. We are foreknown. We are predestined. We are called. We are justified. We will be glorified. And God is busy with that process. The guarantee is that he will use all his power, all his generosity, all his pardon, all his mercy to make sure that you are right. And I want to now, 3CI, commit you to the love of God. Nothing in the whole world can separate you from the love of God. So let's pray. So Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, and with all the leaders in the church that are praying for our people, those that are vulnerable, Father God, those who are pregnant, those who have preconditions, we pray this scripture over them, Father God. You are busy with a great project. It is a greater project than Corona. You're busy with a great project. It is a greater project than our building project. You're busy with a great project to make men and women more and more like Jesus. You want us to look like your Son, Lord God. And so we accept your dealings right now, knowing, Father, without necessarily understanding that good will come out of this. I commit every member of 3CI and their families, and Lord God, those who are close to them, I commit them to the unchanging nature of your love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Bless our people, I pray, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.